Hello, everyone, and welcome to Cross Examination. I'm your host, Matt.
And I am Shane. Welcome, and thanks for joining us here in our second episode.
Oh, yeah. Today, for episode number 2, we're going to be talking about the notorious Jack the Ripper, history's probably most infamous serial killer. Yeah. Let's hop right into the case recap real quick. So, we do give a little bit of a case recap, but we do want you guys to listen to the episode, so if you guys haven't listened, pause this one, go take a listen to it. We worked real hard on it, so it would do a lot for us. But here is the case recap. In the East End of London in 1888, a killer ran rampant, killing numerous women, mostly prostitutes. However, Jack only canonically killed 5 victims. Marianne Nichols, Annie Chapman, Elizabeth Stride, Catherine Eddowes, and Mary Kelly. The killer would send letters to the media and call himself the now famous moniker Jack the Ripper. Jack would hastily get away from the crime scenes and never be seen again.
Yes, some interesting stuff. I'd like to go ahead and kick this off by talking about some of the more interesting theories and parts of this case that Matt and I find very interesting. One of the first ones is, in 2019, a shawl that was found at the scene of the crime for the Catherine Eddowes murder was tested for DNA. There was blood on the cloth that was assumed to be Catherine Eddowes, but there was also semen on the cloth that was assumed to be Jack's. The DNA provided that Jack was a brown-eyed, brown-haired person that was, you know, that was in line with all the evidence and the, goddammit, I'm losing the word right here. Eyewitnesses.
Okay. There we go.
And for the eyewitnesses, and this genealogy of the DNA points to a 23-year-old Polish barber named Aaron Kosminski, who was named a main suspect during the investigation. Skeptics claim that this is not enough evidence to condemn Kosminski as the Ripper, because DNA testing is only reliable to prove that two people are not related or are related. They could not, and this DNA could have belonged to anybody in London at the time.
Oh yeah.
So you know,
I remember. I remember when I was doing research for the case, that name came up, Kosminski, and I remember reading that the man who was perpetrating the theory, the man who was like heading it, hired his own doctor and stuff. I think this is very interesting, and I think it is possible that Kosminski could be the Ripper. But from what I remember, either there was a mistaken evidence or something. So it was like the DNA was 314.1C, which that's what they identified it as, which means that there was like basically a 99% probability that Kosminski was Jack.
Okay.
But they like accidentally mislabeled it, and it was supposed to be 314.1 D or something like that. Which means that basically it went from a 99% chance that this semen sample was Jack's to, okay, this semen sample could be anyone's in Europe's,
right,
at this point.
Yep.
And obviously Catherine Eddowes was a lady of the night, so
yes.
It does make sense for her to maybe have a few droplets of that somewhere.
Yes, this is a very valid point. You know, it's could have been anybody's.
However, I did like the Kosminski theory. I thought it was really cool, and I wanted to put it in the episode, but I decided against it for a few other theories.
Yeah. Something else that was pretty interesting. I was doing some research for an episode of Case Closed, and I came across this theory that H.H. Holmes was, in fact, Jack the Ripper. A descendant of Holmes came forward in recent years, and he had letters and journals that were kept by Holmes claiming that he was Jack the Ripper, The evidence is very thin, though. It was never, like, a direct claim. But, you know, it was kind of debunked. It was just the timing was right, but the areas were wrong. And there's a lot of evidence that Holmes was born and raised in America. But the theory basically states that, you know, the crimes of Jack the Ripper stopped in 1888. And it was because he moved to America to open his murder castle and continue his spree here. It was interesting and a lot of fun to read on, but, you know, like it was kind of debunked and just more of a fantasy.
It's fun to think about. I guess I shouldn't say it's fun, but it would be interesting to think about, like almost a serial killer verse in a way, where all these killers are connected in some way, and obviously you have the killers who will say, yeah, this guy was my influence on why I started killing people and stuff like that. And obviously you have the serial killers like, oh, Ted Bundy is my main inspiration, or the Zodiac is my main inspiration. But then that, like, if it was a little bit more connected, like almost like this theory was saying, like H.H. Holmes is Jack the Ripper, I feel like that would be almost a bit too interesting in a way where you could go, oh, that's like, I don't want to say it's cool because it's not cool to kill people.
Yes, it's a very fine line when talking about this topic. You don't say cool.
Yeah.
You say interesting and...
Yeah, it would be interesting.
Yes, yes.
Oh, yeah. For me, honestly, though, one of the strangest things about this case, and we'll get a bit more into this when we get into cross-examination a bit later, is that the state of London at the time while Jack the Ripper was around.
Right.
Most people really didn't care about Jack, and only found him as an interesting read in the paper, kind of like we're saying, like, obviously, very interesting time in London, most people actually made a complete joke out of Jack the Ripper. So, like, this morbid curiosity that most people had with Jack would only drive, the state of panic that obviously a few people did feel in some of that.
Right. Yeah. It's crazy. I mean, just the times were different, and you know, there was circumstantial evidence, and you know, there's this boogeyman out there, and what are people trying to think or whatever. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's absolutely astounding to me to think that some people were like, hey, all of you, because obviously I should save this a bit more for later, but obviously the state of London at the time was not amazing.
Right.
In the area that they were at, but I feel like after a certain point people should have realized and I'm like, what the heck is happening right now? But speaking of cross-examination, let's go ahead, hop into the nitty-gritty, and it's time for cross-examination.
Oh, yes.
In this section, we hear some of the questions, theories, and just regular comments from you viewers, and we try to answer them to the best of our abilities. So let's go ahead and hop right into it. Our first question right now, it comes from Fire Phoenix 0013. What are the chances that Jack the Ripper was more than one killer versus just one man?
This is an interesting question. I mean, there's definitely a possibility that Jack could have been multiple people. But the MO stayed pretty consistent throughout the time. There was a ramp up in the severity and the brutality of the murders, but it does match up with someone who's just, like, out for a bloodlust and killing, and especially with some of the letters and things that were written, it was almost like a sport, and it was just kind of poking fun at the situation. So while it was possible that there were multiple Jacks, it's, you know, kind of a slim possibility.
Yeah. Like, I think we'll get a bit more into this, especially now that Zodiac is coming out. I've been doing a lot of copycat stuff. Spoiler alert, you're going to hear some of that in the Zodiac episode. But copycats are pretty common after a serial killer becomes famous, which is kind of scary in a way. But it is it's fairly possible. I shouldn't say very. It's fairly possible that Jack could have had a influence on someone to the point where they wanted to start killing as well. But you can never really count it out, and you can never really say that it's true, which is part of what makes these cold cases so fun, because you can theorize all day long, be like, oh, what if it was this and this and this, and try to make those puzzle pieces fit into the shape of a Jack the Ripper style top hat.
Yes.
But
and hindsight's always 20/20.
Oh, yeah.
So you can look back and say, oh, look, these things are connected, whereas at the time they were not. And so,
oh, yeah. Especially in such a time where they didn't have stuff like forensics. They didn't have stuff like cameras everywhere. They didn't have all the technology that we had, which is crazy. And obviously, I think another thing that goes into that is stuff like social media. You can kind of see, like, if that person did have somewhat of a presence, it would sometimes maybe leak onto there, like, oh, Jack the Ripper is my killer.
Right.
Hashtag update my Twitter status. Let me just update my Facebook. What are you currently doing? Oh, just stabbing a few people, having a good time in the East End of London.
And with the social media, and you got modern DNA testing, where even now they're solving, 40-year-old cold cases due to people giving away their DNA and having them having it tested. And it's crazy, just what a different world it was.
It is crazy to think that way back when this case was happening, all of the evidence was just eyewitness testimony. It's all, and what little they had to go on was, oh, this is what the killer looked like.
Yeah.
So
what do you think a podcast would have sounded like in 1888?
a puppet show. I feel like that's just a puppet show at that point, right?
Podcast puppet shows.
The puppet cast. We are. Can we trademark that? Is that some one of our chasers will tell us on Discord or something. Oh, yeah.
Anyway.
But let's go ahead and move on to our next question.
This next question is from Leilani Jade. She asks, was Jack even real?
This almost kind of piggybacks on the last question a bit, too. Was Jack the Ripper real? Or was there just one giant murder spree that happened and the media created, I guess, the persona of Jack?
Right.
I guess that would kind of be the logic behind that going forward. I guess let's take a quick look at the facts real quick. So obviously, like we've said, the East End was no stranger to crime at this point. There were murders happening. There were stealings happening. What is that?
Theft.
Thank you. There were thefts happening everywhere. You had a whole bunch of crime, basically. So the East End was no stranger to crime. The letters that Jack sent, they could not be directly verified as Jack.
Right.
And I think honestly only one of them you can maybe argue like, oh, it's a bit funny, because this, for the night before, or for the double event where Catherine Eddowes died and Elizabeth Stride died the same day, the double event letter, you can maybe argue for that one, but as well as, well, the media at the time, the newspaper could just go, oh, this happened. We need to write a letter and just say we got it yesterday, because there's no way to fact check that.
Right, right, absolutely.
There's absolutely no way. And then there, you have the media obviously gained traction from this killer. People were buying newspapers more often, and then you have these murders just kind of randomly stopping after a certain point. Those are the facts, and you can kind of form your own theories from them. Personally, for me, is it likely that Jack was fake? No. I feel like there would have to be a lot more evidence to suggest that, as well as there is somewhat of DNA evidence out there.
Right, right.
Is it Jack's? We don't really know. Could have just been some random dude's blood or woman's blood. But yeah, there was most likely a Jack. But like I said, there is a very slim possibility that he could be fake and I guess we can't really 100% rule that out.
Yeah, I tend to agree. You know, I think that there, like we said earlier, the MO was basically the same across, and if you're having several people, you know, mutilating corpses, that's a little bit of a different story. But, because, you know, the media can create boogeymen to fuel, you know, sales and people's interests and stuff, but the evidence across all the victims was too similar to try and pin it on several people all at once and just to create this collaborative killer, essentially.
Yeah. There would be way too much work to put into it. And I'm not saying that the media is not smart.
Mm-hmm.
I am probably saying the exact opposite of that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that it would just be too much work for them to just get, what, maybe a few extra readers?
Right.
Because obviously they're the only form of probably news that people get. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I wouldn't assume that they would want something like that in or around their city. Because obviously they're in danger too.
Yes.
So I don't think they would want to make a joke out of it. But you can argue with maybe one of our later points that we make. Speaking of later points, let's get on to our next question.
All right.
What? All right. This one comes from Genonymous. All right. So considering the first body was found fresh roughly 30 minutes after the murder, do you think that it's possible whoever the Ripper was, they meant for the body to be found deliberately? Or could it have been a coincidence that the woman was found where she was, or when she was? I'm assuming that they're meaning for the double event, that Genonymous is meaning for the double event.
Right.
Being,
it's a great question.
Elizabeth Stride, I believe. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
It is a great question.
It's a very good question because it brings up something that doesn't get mentioned a lot, in that Jack was kind of smart with the way he went about things. He knew how to evade police and capture, and he knew how to dispose of bodies and lure in new victims. It's completely possible that he intentionally killed Elizabeth Stride just to throw off the police. The cuts were made hastily, so most people assume that he just had to do it really quickly. But what if it's because he didn't care about that kill? It still matched Jack's MO, however, it would do more harm than good for the killer. It would make him be smack dab in the middle of a giant police search at the time. But truly, who can tell? Maybe he just wanted the excitement. Maybe, you know, the feeling of being nearly caught was what was driving him in his later, you know, more brutal victims.
Yes. Definitely a possibility there. Jack was extremely smart. If we are taking all of his letters at face value, he was a very, very smart man. Very good at evading police. But like you said, if he's putting himself smack dab right in the middle of everything, I think it's a bit out there that he would do that. But it is a possibility that he, one, just wanted bloodlust, or two, wanted to kind of be captured at that point.
Right. Our next question comes from Halftend, a.k.a. Jack the Ripper, the voice in the episode from Cold Case Chase. Mm-hmm. He says, one thing that bothers me to a certain extent is the difference in the victims. Sure, the same method and all, but whoever did this went from 20 to 100 really fast on his last victim. And then the guy was never heard from again. I'm not big on conspiracy theories, but that kind of gap and sudden end is strange.
Yeah. The next few questions that we have are actually all from Halftend. He's one of my good friends. He played Jack in this episode, and when we were talking, when we were practicing his lines for this episode, he was bringing up a lot of good questions,
mm-hmm.
and that was one of the first times, so I was like, oh, we should do like a little after show. So right. This show kind of came from that one conversation that I had with him. So thank you very much, Hulv. Yeah. So, but to kind of answer his question here, it's a very good point to bring up, because police at the time had Jack's MO as a sophisticated man, like a very sophisticated killer. Someone who really took pride and joy in each one of his killings. While his other dissections are absolutely nothing to scoff at, this one, the last one of Mary Kelly, really took the cake for being the most gruesome out of all of them, being one, skinned alive, and two, being disemboweled to the point of being absolutely barely recognizable. It's a very big leap from just slitting somebody's throat and removing their uterus. But Jack's MO did change a bit over time. Now, it could be because he was being attributed to killings that weren't his, or his persona turning into somewhat of a boogeyman type of deal.
Right.
But somewhere along the way, Jack got a bit more gruesome. Either himself, he got more gruesome, or he was portrayed as more gruesome, and that led to police kind of thinking that he was a lot more capable of something like this,
right,
being skinned alive. And especially for this to be his last canonical victim, it's almost kind of scary. This man went from I don't want to say it's tame, because not even his first killings were tame, but it was a lot better than being skinned.
Yeah, relatively.
Yeah. So for that to be his last one, and then just to disappear technically, I guess you could say, canonically, is a very strange ending to his story.
Right. And you know,
that's why I tend to agree with Hulv here, that it's a bit strange that this is what we last get from him.
Yeah. And you know, you bring up the point of him being turned into some kind of boogeyman, and you know what, maybe that's kind of what drove him to get more and more gruesome. Is like, oh, you want a boogeyman, I'll be a boogeyman. And
yeah,
you know, I don't know, it's just, yeah, absolutely crazy that he just stops and never to be heard from again.
Yeah, it's pretty weird to think about that. Like, that's your almost like a finale, like a last hurrah in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a terrible way to put it, but
absolutely.
But I completely agree with this point of it just being so sudden. Just, wow, this is how you're gonna end it? Way to end on a extremely gruesome note.
Yeah.
But we're gonna go ahead and we're going to start the second question from Hulv. The second question from him is, are there more victims that were never found or never publicized so that they wouldn't be associated with Jack? A successful attempt to not give an attention-seeking madman the attention, and he maybe goes away? Maybe they did catch the right guy after all, or maybe he moved on, perhaps going abroad maybe. And maybe he continued his work somewhere else and felt that the cops were getting too close. There are so many possibilities here.
And that's absolutely true. And that kind of goes back to the H.H. Holmes things. Did he go abroad and move to America, where things were not so much on high alert? But you know,
yeah, it could evade the heat a little bit.
But Jack had many murders attributed to his name. Some had evidence, and some did not. There was never enough to link him to more than 5 killings, those being the Canonical 5. However, there were 11 women murdered from April 3rd, 1888 to February 13th, 1891, which could have been the work of the Ripper. And, you know, maybe he stopped and it was somebody else. Maybe he just got better at not leaving evidence. It's, you know, tough to say.
Yeah. And it's absolutely crazy to think that we don't know if these 11 killings were just 11 random women got murdered by maybe 11 separate different people, or if these 11 women were murdered and it was all the work of this one man.
Right.
Because sometimes the MO didn't match. Sometimes there was somebody who confessed to the crimes. And then I believe there was also the factor of the timing of everything. Like, oh, he probably couldn't do that one because it was all the way across town, and this one was, like, he couldn't get in there or something like that. But it is, if Jack is as smart as we are making him out to be in this podcast, I could definitely see him maybe trying to dodge the heat for a little bit. And I would honestly love it if the theory of maybe he was arrested on a separate charge and nobody really thought he was Jack. I love that theory because it could mean that, hey, maybe we did catch him. Maybe the police did put an end to this brutal killing spree.
Right. Unknowing.
But yeah, unknowingly did. But we can never really be sure.
Right. Our very last question by Hav. He says, one thing I really hope you point out is the thing you brought up when we were practicing and discussing the letters. How some seemingly made the whole thing into a joke. On one hand, it could be interpreted as these people being extremely morbid and sick, not even valuing a human life, or the brutal end of it, above a joke.
Yeah. So, like I've been saying this entire time, from the beginning of the podcast, people were honestly trying to have fun with Jack the Ripper around. You remember from the episode, I talked about how George Lusk got a letter from Jack, quote-unquote Jack, along with half of a human kidney.
Yes.
Half of a human kidney. Yeah. Are you kidding me?
That's...
This is a prank from a medical student. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
This is a joke. Somebody sent half a human kidney. And this is right after Catherine Eddowes had just died, and she was missing her kidney.
Yes. What a morbid sense
of humor. So people were assuming that this... Yeah, this... People were assuming that this was Catherine Eddowes' kidney, and it is absolutely crazy. Like, this is a prank to people at this time.
Yeah.
Like, especially when so many people are dying.
Right.
Like...
Right.
That would be absolutely astounding to me. If I was in those times, obviously, one, hindsight is 20/20, but if you're in those times, like, it cannot be a good feeling to have that if you're George Lusk.
Mm-hmm.
You get a letter from somebody pretending to be probably the most prominent serial killer the world at the time.
Right.
Like, that cannot feel good.
Yeah.
Like, oh man, I'm his next target, making this man worry. But, like, it's like Hav is saying, and like I've talked about with him, it's just this morbid sense of humor that they had.
Yeah, and I feel like that's pretty even comparable to today, because, like, though we're not, you know, sending human kidneys, we have memes that are pretty messed up about, you know, things that are going on in life and things that definitely are not funny, people are taking lightly and making jokes of. And so, you know, it may be just be a human condition to try and make something not as big in their mind so that they don't feel so scared or so afraid to walk down the street, you know what I mean? And it's just this morbid sense of humor I can't imagine receiving a half a human kidney, though. That would ruin my day, to say the least.
If I opened a box and saw half of a human kidney in there, I would freak out. I would absolutely flip. Just, I could not imagine that. So, with all of our questions out of the way, I want to say thank you to everybody who asked a question.
Yes, first and foremost.
So thank you guys all so much for giving us our questions for this week's episode. But let's go ahead and let's get into our final verdict. So, Shane, I will ask you first.
Okay.
So, who is Jack the Ripper?
I'm going to go with Jill the Ripper.
Ooh.
I think that it explains a lot of why she was never caught or even suspected. Because at the time, a woman would have not been considered to be so brutal. And it was easy for her to disguise herself as a man and then just change on the way out the door, and then somebody just sees a woman blending in with the crowd. And on top of that, part of the theory of Jill the Ripper was that she was kind of a deranged midwife, and nobody is going to look twice at a midwife who has blood on her clothes. And so...
Exactly.
Yeah, it's just... I don't know. I think that it fills in a lot of the gaps for me, and just kind of makes sense. I mean, I don't know. That's where I'm going with.
I remember reading that theory, and that's a lot of the reasons why I put it in the episode, because it just made a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing not holding it together was the fact that, oh, the police think that it's a man.
Right. Yep. Yep.
And that is absolutely crazy to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not investigating any women. obviously, there were no women linked to the case.
Right.
But it's obviously just kind of something that kind of goes without saying that obviously... Oh, my goodness. Sorry, I cannot think straight right now. It's obviously just kind of something that you can really... put the puzzle pieces together. Thank you, brain,
yes,
for actually thinking of the word. You can put the puzzle pieces together with it being a midwife, where it's like, oh, this, if you think of it as the midwife, oh, okay, this woman was a midwife. She, most of the victims had their uteri.
That's a good question.
They we're gonna use the octopus method and just say uteri.
I like it.
Yeah, most of these women had their uteri taken.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, you have a failed abortion. Something's going to be up with your uterus.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously back then there was a different shame to having an abortion than it is now. So obviously you kind of have that shame with you, and if you have an abortion, it's like, oh, what the heck. So most of these are also prostitutes as well.
Right.
So they are doing the dirty frequently. And if this doctor is botching an abortion, she might want to get rid of any evidence that it might have been a midwife. So just taking the uterus completely out, yeah. And then, obviously, the last killing, skinning a woman alive, maybe a bit.
Right.
A bit out there, but yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess now it's my turn.
Yes, what do you think, Matt?
I think Jack the Ripper is... Joseph Barnett.
Nice.
I mixed up my suspects when I was writing in the document today, but Joseph Barnett, if you'll remember, is the man who lived with the last victim, Mary Kelly.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Mary Kelly was the woman who was skinned alive and disemboweled. Mm. Oh my goodness. So she was living with Joe Barnett at the time, and then obviously they kind of had somewhat of a relationship. Barnett really wanted to get Mary Kelly off the streets, and he thought that maybe killing some prostitutes could do that.
Yeah,
that's the theory, at least.
Right. Scare her straight.
And obviously, scare her straight. Obviously, it didn't work. And obviously, in a fit of rage, he could have taken Mary Kelly's life, and obviously that being the most gruesome one, I would feel almost backs up the claim that Joseph Barnett is the killer.
Yeah,
because that's almost like a crime of passion at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Or at that point. So it's crazy to think that could be the reason why Mary Kelly was skinned alive, because somebody loved her.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's, all the other ones, yeah.
Yeah, crime of passion is a good way to put it, because if that is the case, then You know, it's just incredibly brutal. And, you know, just historically, people do really weird things for love. And so, you know,
yeah,
wouldn't all put right. it past somebody.
But, yeah. But let us know who you guys think is Jack the Ripper.
Yes, please.
Either in the review section or in the Discord, which we'll bring up in a second. So let's go ahead and let's close this off.
Yes, thanks everybody for listening to another episode of Cross Examination. Next time, we'll be covering the Keddie Cabin murders. If you want to have your question read in that episode, get it posted in the Cross Examination section of the Discord.
Speaking of the Discord, you can find that in the description. On the Discord, we have auditions to be characters on Cold Case Chase, as well as... Case Closed. We also have a community of chasers that love talking unsolved cases. Also, if you would like to become a member and support the podcast, the link will also be in the description. Well, I guess that about covers it. So remember to leave your 5-star reviews down below. We always love seeing those.
Yes, thank you.
And we'll see you next time on Cross Examination.
Bah, 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 bah.
Bah, 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 bah. Bye, guys.